with Carol and Rose Goiter.
Okay. Well, I was just going to ask you what your website is, because I was just putting up the archives for the show that we were on September the 12th.
Absolutely. It's www.awakeradio.co.uk.
Awakeradio.co.uk. And also the name of the show? Is it just the Chrissy McMahon Show?
Yeah, it was in the evening, so yeah, we'll just say Chrissy McMahon with Vin Eastwood. It's fine by me.
So you don't actually have a name for the show?
Guerrilla Media. Well, I do. My show's Thursday morning, but I've been broadcasting Thursday nights and Sunday nights, so I don't know if all nights are my show. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it was your show when we were on. Does it have an actual name, like the show itself?
Absolutely.
Everything's in flux, I think.
That would be...
Yeah. Alchemical Connections.
Alchemical Connections. Okay. I had an alcohol connection on the weekend. It was awesome.
Yes. Well, I don't drink, but I'm glad you had a good time.
I had a good time too. It was great. I was you know, it's funny when you're on a bit of a bender, you bump into a whole lot of people and you have a whole lot of different conversations, right? Or at least I do, because I'm a very socially outgoing guy. And I think I must have talked to 10 pretty hardcore, woken up, distracted, well, not distracted, conspiracy-minded people like myself that night, and I had some of the best conversations I've had on a bender for years. And what was interesting is that there were just so many of them. And one of the guys who was packing up the DJ equipment at the end of the party, going back to somebody's house, he's wearing a big all-seeing high Illuminati pyramid on his T-shirt. And I pointed it out to him and just go, "Oh my God, you're wearing the Illuminati symbol." He goes, "Look, if one more person tells me that, geez," and I was just like, you know, that's actually a really good sign. Somebody can't wear an Illuminati shirt without 100 people say, "Oh my God, he's wearing the size of the Illuminati."
I know, it's a great awakening.
I find that very encouraging.
It is. We're living in amazing times, Vinny. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure if amazing is the word that I'd choose as well. Because at the moment, I'm on Facebook arguing with people about fluoride. You know, when you argue with people about fluoride, they don't know anything about fluoride. They don't know what it is. They don't know whether or not it's pharmaceutical grade. They don't know that it's an endocrine disruptor. They don't know that it robs electrons from your cells. They don't know anything. And so naturally, instead of actually coming up with anything, they have these sort of intellectual dragnet things like, oh, there's just too little of it to do something, you know, coffee's poisonous and so on and so forth. Well, do you make fluoride in your coffee? Well, then you're compounding the effects, motherfucker, you know? And at least you've got a choice about whether or not you drink coffee. You don't really have too much of a choice about what you bathe in, what you drink in, and what you wash your clothes in and what you cook your food in and so on and so forth. Do ya? And they're like, oh, but you could buy fluoride filters. Really? You go to a poor neighborhood and you tell them,
there
hey,
are no fluoride filters. These people are crazy. It has to be distilled or that osmosis process, but that's
it's a real pain in the ass. I mean, you need like a 2-micron thick filter to filter out fluoride, which is the same width that you need in order to filter out uranium. And it's like, bro, do you have any idea how expensive that stuff is? And they're like, oh, they're like $60 a year. $60 a year, my ass. A friend of mine had a whole house fluoride filter that cost him $14,000. It was so expensive that when he sold his house, he also sold the fluoride filter separately, so that he could, you know, have a bit of money to get the frack out of there, kind of thing. It was extraordinary.
Well, here, pre and post carbon filter and get a distiller and double distill. You can't, it's
how about
it's
this?
It works.
How about this? You use a strong wrist and you turn off the tap that puts the fluoride into the water.
Well, then you drink urine and you're in good position. Perfect.
Yeah. Well, maybe in your water supply, drinking urine is all just recycled stuff and what have you in the Uber Kingdom, isn't it? But in New Zealand, we've got things, you know, called rivers and lakes and so on and so forth, and rain that isn't chemtrail.
They have the same thing here, and they have the fracking now, and people's water supplies getting poisoned, and people don't believe that that's even happening because there's no proof. I mean, come on, you know, they shut the business down and nobody can drink the water. I mean, how much more proof do you want?
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Are people stupid? And the answer is, unfortunately, yes. Yes, they are.
I wish it was that simple. It's got to be something else. There has to be some kind of a tractor beam on their brain.
And it's called public schooling.
All the good information.
It's called public schooling. It's called mainstream media never giving anybody any decent information for which they can make a decision in their freaking life that actually makes sense. You know, they've been robbed of their cognitive reasoning capacity. And I was just kind of theorizing about this on on Facebook earlier. In fact, this is the reason why one of the people got really pissed off with me. You know, I said that I wasn't anti-establishment. You know, because like, in order to be anti-establishment, there has to be something that's actually established, right? There's nothing actually established yet. Everything's like crumbling under its own weight, all being built at the same time. There's no such thing as an establishment, not so far. So I'm actually pro-establishment. I'd like to establish something that doesn't frickin' suck. And somebody says, ha ha ha, not anti-establishment, maybe just conspiracy theorist, Vinny. And I go, all right, well, conspiracy theorist is a person who believes that powerful people who have a lot of influence actually use their power to maintain or grow their influence, okay? A coincidence theorist is a person who believes everything happens by sheer coincidence. Deception and backrooms deals do not exist. There's three words that I love. I don't know. There's three words that I hate. I don't care. And three words that are required for personal growth. I was wrong. And conspiracy theorists as a social group have all been lumped together. And I consider myself as a conspiracy theorist, but I don't believe in things blindly without very compelling evidence. Conversely, even if I had evidence that caused me to believe something strongly, I would take contrary evidence on board and weigh them up. This is how I differentiate myself from the, quote, crazy conspiracy theorists, of which there are many, who have deep psychological problems and a lack of cognitive ability to discern truth from fiction. This is not a phenomenon confined to conspiracy theorists either. I've met so many mainstream people who are clearly insane, can't think, won't listen, or consider any evidence contrary to their own rigidly held, almost religious belief structures. And besides, we're not talking about conspiracy anyway. You know why? Because it's not a secret. All right? It's not a secret. In David Rockefeller's book Memoirs, he admits that he's part of a secret cabal working to destroy the United States and create a new world order. Here's a direct quote from the book, page 405. For more than a... Let me see if I'm going to do a David Rockefeller voice. For more than a century, ideological extremists at either end of the political spectrum have seized upon well-publicized incidents to attack the Rockefeller family for the inordinate influence they claim we have and we wield over the American political and economic institutions. Some even believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists, and are conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I am proud of it. David Rockefeller.
Absolutely.
It's not a freaking conspiracy. They admit it, okay? Conspiracies
and
have to be secret.
The media for not exposing them for all those years as well.
Thank you, the media, for not repeating it 1,000 times over and over again. Little quotes like I just read to you right now. What they do repeat over and over again is there's a car crash over here, mass shooting over here, and a gun ban zone, by the way. If people had concealed carry, they probably would have shot the motherfucker before he could kill a whole bunch of people. But, you know, the whole...
Say that again. Three times. Carolyn, what do you think? He's a man after our own heart or what?
Oh, yeah. I know who Vinny is. Vinny's a great guy. I think he's got one of the sexiest voices on radio. I think he's. I like Rick's voice, but I tell you, whenever I hear anybody from New Zealand, I'm sliding off the chair.
That's that accent. I know. God.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I've got a girlfriend, though, but that's another story.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, for the first 3 years, I didn't refer to her as my girlfriend or even mention her by name, or just kind of referred to her in conversation as M apostrophe MRS. Mumusas.
I like that.
I love you.
What happened to you on Facebook? What was all this story we were hearing? There's something wrong with your Facebook page. What the heck happened?
Oh, yeah, it's gone, mate. It's dead. You know, I've been working on that puppy for like 6-7 years or something like that. I got an infinite amount of philosophical quotes, pictures, videos posted, and notes of works, and thousands of friends, admin on pages that have tens of thousands of likes, and so on and so forth, members of hundreds of groups and whatever. All gone. Because the name of the account was Guerrilla Media Mr. News. And they said that you can't use an account that doesn't have your real name. And I already had an account with my real name, which I'm using now, by default kind of thing. And they said that I could activate my other account if I use the same or similar name, except I can't use the same or similar name because they won't let me. And I've tried about 20 different combinations and they still won't let me. So it's a catch-22. They're like, yep, you can't use it with this name, but you can only reinstate it if you use this name, which we won't let you use. So you're fracked. Just such bastards. That's why I call him Fishbook.
Oh, Zuckerman's happy, though. He's getting a lot of money for the NSA.
Yeah, yeah. In Mexico, it's called the NSA.
Yeah.
I have
fracking
this,
NSA.
Yeah. They're all fracking us. And they're turning the world into Shiite Muslim. What can I say?
But hey, we decided for the last couple of weeks we've been talking, we're going to use their tool anyway. It's just like, hey, we don't like using the petroleum-based combustion engine, but we'll use that until we get our own out there. And in the meantime, we'll use Facebook to reach thousands of people worldwide and laugh our. They can laugh their way to their own fat banks, oil and oil banks, their banks, and we'll sit there and laugh and use their tool to reach people, wake them up, shake up some sheeple, and just, you know, use Facebook to reach and let everybody know we're all the same. We all want to get along. We all love what we have, our animals, our pets, our gardens, our homes, our whatever hobbies we got. Plus, we all want peace, so we're going to laugh at them and use their own tools.
Yes.
If they want to data mine, they want to data mine and take our pictures, we'll just smile.
Yeah. I mean, or just show them something scary, you know? I figure that's the thing you've got to do. If they're watching everything that you do, then do stuff that freaks them out. Hold a protest. Ambush some form of scumbaggery individual. Make posts that are really loving and caring and philosophical
citizens
or whatever.
Citizens arrest.
Yeah, let them know that we're all aware of what we're doing, whether it's in Brazil or Spain or Italy, Romania or Iceland. We're going to sit them up. No, we're going to sit there and let them know we know we outnumber them. I think we need to put a little bit of fear in them. You know, I like to see them a little nervous, you know, so I think it's kind of fun.
I don't know. Apparently, like, it's almost like what you're working towards. I remember this dude named Rick, he had me on his radio show, and he was like, he's always having fights and angry stuff like this, and it kind of derailed his radio show fighting these people in his own chat room, which he could have just blocked, you know. And as a result, he was losing all his friends who were telling him, bro, don't bother with those people, don't bother. So instead of actually dealing with his friends and working on his relationship with them, he was working on a relationship with a whole bunch of trolls. It derailed his own show. And I said, what's your priority, bro? Your enemies or your friends? And we all kind of
got into that. You were talking about, you know, your gorilla page. We've been talking. See, we're going to have more fun, too. We're going to have gorilla gardening. We're going to save all of our good weed seeds because you got to save them now because they're going to be GM. And, you know, we're going to make weed legal in the United States, and when they're done genetically modifying it, so we're telling everybody, save your seeds, and gorilla launch them everywhere. Plus, at the same time, save all your heritage tomato seeds, herb seeds, everything. And at the same time, you're saving them. We want to have everybody throw them in every creek, every brook, every stream. We're going to get the stuff out there, And when it comes to Monsanto, we're not only going to flood the world with healthy seeds, we're going to tell anybody, any of these rich people that are sitting around, sitting on their duffs and all, think they want to pretend that they care, we're going to say, fine, go buy Monsanto stock, because we're going to put the scare in them and we're going to start buying their company. So then we are going to produce what we want to produce, turn those scientists into people to solve the poisons they put out and make sure things like Roundup don't get distributed. And so we're going to sit there, and while they're busy thinking that they've got it made, like I said, we're just going to guerrilla. We're going to grill a garden. We're going to spread that. We're going to make sure that everybody knows this and start telling people about the healthy alternative to all this garbage prescription pills that are just all over the United States. So we're going to have
guerrilla Wi-Fi.
That's right. And guerrilla. Yeah, we're going to set up. Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you remember that. I told them we're going to set up Wi-Fi everywhere. And everybody that's got the extra bucks, put out the extra gigabytes. So people that can't afford it got Wi-Fi, because libraries are closing all over America, and you have to have a picture ID to get in them. They're closed on weekends. They're closed at night for all those crazy people that are up all night. We can't get into them. We're going to open our own libraries. We're going to share books. We're going to put up some hempcrete domes that will be around the clock. You can go in and use them. And like I said, Wi-Fi, we're going to share it with people. And instead of throwing away the laptops and PCs, make them available in these kiosks for people. And it's like, long as they can't control the food, the fuel, the funding, and the info, hey, we're taking back our freedom, and they can go frack themselves.
Yeah, well, that's if it works, because, of course, these kind of actions are prone to counterattack by establishment scumbaggery.
Well, that's why I've been in exile from my house for 4 years. They've tried to do everything. So, hey, I've been in hotels. I'm in a borrowed trailer right now. Nobody's lived in for 4 years. We've got about a couple tons of buckets of sweat equity to make this livable. But hey, it's doable. I fought them in court. I beat them. They're scared to death when you bring up things like jury nullification. You demand using a jury. You get a, you know, one of these useless ABA lawyers maybe to do some of the paperwork. Then you go in there, you argue your own case, you kick their butt, and they get more and more scared as time goes by. Hey, Brett Roshan wants to say hi, too.
Oh, hey, Vinny. How's it going? Not sure if you remember or not, but yeah, I was on Type 1 Radio, I think, last time you were on.
Right. Oh, that was quite some time ago.
Yeah, out of Bristol.
It was. Not sure if you remember, we had the little incident with Pistachio John.
Pistachio John? Do they call him that because he's just a little bit nuts, but he's coming out of his shell?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I can't remember which. I think he said he was calling out of Michigan or something like that. He called saying there was some UFO flying around a pistachio field, and his aunt was wearing a Hitler uniform and shooting a shotgun or some crazy bullshit like that.
I remember this, and he said that there was an SUV full of agents or something outside his house, and I told him to go make them a cup of tea, and he goes, "Yeah, but there's like seven of them," and I go, "Okay, well, you're going to need a tray and several cups."
Yeah, and he kept screaming at his grandmother or mom or something.
Grandma, I don't do it. There you go. There you go.
Yeah, I do recall that, and I think he called in like a few minutes after I talked about people who were completely insane conspiracy theorists who were just kind of like off the wall and have like fully lost their mind, and then this guy calls in. And we go, oh my God, can you illustrate a point better? You know, you can't make
it's
the Shiite Muslim up.
It
was hysterical.
Just when we were trying to get our aluminum hats all ready, this guy calls in, you know?
Yeah.
Instant manifestation.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to say, hey, we got to get you back on Tech 1 here at some point.
All right, well, you know, I've got type 2 diabetes, so I should be on type 1 radio. It'll be awesome.
There you go.
I don't have type 2 diabetes, by the way.
You got to start cooking for it. You got to come over here and start having some organic food. We'll get rid of that type 2 everything.
I don't have it, bro. I was just making shit up.
Oh, had me worried. I was going to say, your picture looks too hot. You don't look like you got it, you know?
Yeah. You don't look sick.
I'm closer to having Warren Beatty than diabetes.
Hey, that could probably be arranged, you know?
If you say so.
There you go. So I'm glad at least you got your, you're still on Facebook, though they stole your radio page. Now, what, that's a bunch of shit.
Oh, yeah, well, it's like also my profile and all of the other pages and everything that I set up, like the professional ones and what have you, you know, so I don't have access to them. So there's all those ones there, all those groups and stuff like that that have thousands of members, thousands of likes and so on and so forth that I now have absolutely no control over. And,
well,
and the funniest thing is you can't actually complain to Facebook about your account being blocked if your account hasn't been blocked. And my account hasn't been blocked. They just won't allow me to log in until I come up with a new name, which they won't let me have because it's not my name.
Well, maybe you can just call it the Frack and Vinny Eastwood Show.
To be honest... I'm getting like about 20 friend requests a day at this point because the other one wasn't in my name. It was Guerrilla Media Mr. News. And my personal one, like, oh. I renamed it from my full name, you know, Vincent Eastwood to just Vinny Eastwood. And all of a sudden there's heaps and heaps and heaps of people searching for me and adding me on. So I'll be back to square one reasonably soon, I hope. I've gone up from like 600 friends to like nearly 1,000 in a matter of less than a week, and I haven't added really anybody. Everybody's just been coming my way, man. So you know, it's like Obi-Wan said: "If you strike me down, I'll become more powerful than you could ever imagine."
Well, if you get lonely, we're glad to be friends. We'll be your friend, Vinny.
Apparently,
you can't refuse.
Apparently, palm trees also need lots of fronds.
Lots of fronds, yeah. We need lots of fronds, yeah.
My frond from fronds.
Somebody give me a pint. I'm getting too sober here.
Yeah, sobriety's a bitch, isn't it?
Oh, it's tough. I tell you, I can't handle it. It makes me, drives me to drink every time I try.
I know. It's a vicious circle.
Yeah, but it's okay. You know, what? There's always another beer to try.
Yeah, allegedly. Unless, yep. Of course, you're broke as and you can't afford it. Gonna like me.
No. Hey, that's why we're going to do Guerrilla Beer, too. We're going to be growing our own beer. We're going to be brewing our own beer, having our own lager, you know, have some Marzen, have some ale, and... But you guys always have it. It's driving me nuts. I cannot get the green can of Foster's. You cannot find a pint of what used to be the best beer, Foster's Bitters. It's they changed the name to ale because they didn't have the guts to tell people to drink bitters.
Why is it called bitters? Is it made by feminists or something?
Oh, no. It's nothing whiny like that. This has got body to it. This isn't some wimpy beer. This is some good stuff. You've never had Foster's Bitters?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, my God.
It's like an Australian beer, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's the blue can's good, but the green can of Foster's, my God. I mean, it's not quite as good as Sexton. It's not good as an Aerosolator, as Chrissy will find out soon enough. But
will it give me an erection?
It's Oh, yeah.
Apparently, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I gave me one, and I don't even have a...
Okay.
Yeah, that'll get it.
She was talking about her shin bones, ladies and gentlemen. They suddenly became erect at the producing of the beer.
It was actually my big toe, you know.
Like, is that your big toe hovering, or are you just happy to see?
She's going
to
lose so many...
That's it.
Oh my God!
Probably just got off about five networks. Dumped us.
Shaziz just lost the Christian Coalition.
Oh, for God's sakes! Don't they know that Jesus made water into wine, not the other way around?
I don't think that's the problem. It's the sex talk, I think.
Yeah.
Well, we're not using the F word, so we're doing good. I think we're doing fine.
Hey, no. If God put us here and he said to go procreate and all the other stuff, I mean, you have to have sex to do that, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
But you can't talk about it. You can only do it. And it's supposed to be in private is the thing. So, yeah, I'm starting to think about this. It's probably a good idea. I don't know about you, but I've got a very dirty mind. In fact, I do know about you now. But
Sorry, I'm really sleepy. Go ahead.
Okay. And
I was thinking about this
openness, pardon the pun, of sexuality. I don't think it's really a good thing, actually. Sexual liberation and so on and so forth. I've just been kind of analysing this, you know, since the Rockefellers funded feminism and so on and so forth. You've got pornography everywhere for everybody to see. Divorce rates up to, 52-55% in the United States, and pretty similar rates all around the world. Illegitimate fathers among the black community is now, 80% or whatever. So I think that the liberation of sexuality and not keeping it secret, private, between a man and a woman, and maybe they can talk to their very closest friends about it. I don't think this has actually been a really positive phenomenon for humanity, because if we're too flippant and too open about it, it loses its meaning, and its real meaning is full-on love. And
I don't want to see, no offense, Vinny, but I don't want to see you having sex with anybody.
Well, you know. I wouldn't want to see me having sex with anybody while you're watching either.
Yeah, there you go. And I think there is more of an allure to having a thing where there is more mystery to it. But I don't think we have to hide the subject in the closet. But I mean, I got to admit, I think I like that nice little allure. I mean, if somebody wants to watch some softcore thing on the side there, that's their own thing in private. I don't necessarily want to be in a public park and have, you know, this couple over there and this couple over there, and, you know, they're all in various stages of going for it. I figure that should be done in private. I kind of agree with that. And you're right. I'm glad you mentioned, nobody ever wants to believe me when I tell them Gloria Steinem came out and admitted that she was funded by the CIA and that the CIA funded Ms. Magazine. Nobody wants to hear that. And nobody wants to hear
that. I think a lot of people understand that now. I think more of us realize that than did be in the past, but I think you both have a really strong point that
it even bothered me.
Yeah, it really bothered me when in about 2000 when I was in college and undergrad, and there was one student who was younger, like half my age. She thought that it would be really good if we could just drop the gender, not just stereotypes, but that people wouldn't look at males as males and having a certain way of existing, and females. And I couldn't understand that. I thought, well, what are we going to be, all automatons? I mean, what is that? But I really think I like the idea that men are men and women are women, and that we can have our feminine side and our masculine side, and expose that and you know, be open about that. I think that makes a whole person. But I couldn't get what she was talking about, that people would kind of be genderless, and that was kind of, it bothered me. And I thought, well, I don't want to live in a world like that where people are just kind of, they're male and female, but there's no distinction, and I think maybe what she was talking about was more the thought process, the stereotypes, the biases, and all that other stuff that kind of keep us separate.
Yeah.
So I understand that today, and I think sex is a beautiful thing, and I don't like the objectification of women, but I see more and more women are doing that. Yeah. But on the same token, male abuse is becoming more prevalent than men abusing women.
Yeah, what's it called? The suicide rate for men in New Zealand is massive. They're actually, if you are an adult male, you're more likely to kill yourself than anybody else. And we've got the world's highest teenage suicide rate as well. There's a number of reasons for this, but the family court was modeled on the old-style eugenics courts of the early 30s, and after 1945, eugenics became a bad word for some reason. So they changed their names to family courts or family planning and so on and so forth, so that they could just continue to, you know, kidnap people's kids and frack the lives of parents up and try to socially engineer families according with their eugenicist pseudoscience dogma. And it's institutionalized now in New Zealand. If you're if you got your kids taken off you and you're a woman, you get unlimited legal aid money for a lawyer. So the government pays for your lawyer to get your own kids back from the government. And then
what?
If you're a man, on the other hand, you get no legal aid whatsoever. So men can't get their kids
back. How's that fair?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's same with grief counselling as well. A man can't get more than 6 sessions for free, whereas a woman can have unlimited. Because apparently if a man has 6 grief counselling sessions because he's really upset that the government stole his kids who he really loves hugely and he did nothing wrong, he should you know, he should be okay after 6 sessions and should just shut the frack up and get the frack out of my office.
Well, maybe men aren't as sick as women. Maybe that's what they're trying to say.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're all just as sick as each other. We're all just sick in different ways. And we're sick in so many different ways that it really confuses just how really frickin' sick we really are.
Well, you know, you mentioned the suicide rate. A lot of that has to do with it, too, the pressure on kids these days. Because, let's face it, one, they have been dumbing down school. So kids aren't reading enough and getting a broader sense of what reality is and what values are. And, you know, what they're seeing on TV is they're now supposed to be, what was that gal that just did that one thing at some award thing where she did some sexy thing or whatever?
Miley Cyrus on the wrecking ball. Or was it the stripper act? Yeah.
Well, and they got all these kids thinking they got to look like, you know, a sex pot when they're 6 years old. And even the cartoons are getting sexier now. And I got to admit, I actually get embarrassed with some of the shows, the sitcoms, if I got a kid in the room, when I think it's fine to have adult sitcoms. I love Britcoms. But I got to admit, some of the stuff that they have on in the afternoon or the repeats and stuff that the kids are seeing, I think a little bit the kids are getting so much pressure to think that, oh, well, I guess I'm supposed to be sexually active, whether they need to be or not, or mature enough or not, or and whatnot. And that always freaks me out that they kind of get into that too much, that these poor kids are just seeing this constantly. And it's like at such a young age that it's like, you know, it's got to confuse them. It has to, you know.
You're going to love what I'm about to tell you now then. My friend John Eisen from Uncensored Magazine does the probably the best conspiracy magazine in the country. Well, actually, the only conspiracy magazine really in the country at uncensored.co.nz. He did an issue, and in the front page, the issue had you know, schoolgirls with their little shoes on, you know, the little red strappy shoes kind of thing that you wear when you're really young. Just sort of like lined up, and it says the agenda to bring about a pedophile friendly world. Somebody complained about that magazine and got it taken off of the shelves in all of the supermarket chains in the whole country that it was being sold on. So to speak out against pedophilia gets you censored. What does that tell you?
Oh, well, yeah, she could tell you about that. She'll tell you about that.
Pedophilia got me exiled from my house. I actually, in St. Louis, and I'm still out of my house, fighting for my house. I got into it, Vinny, and it was amazing. I actually got into it because, like, long story short, I went to Roman Catholic schools. I was baptized Ukrainian Catholic in the Greek Rite, but the RC Church got rid of that, just like the Soviets got rid of the Ukrainians. But while I was investigating, like, two of my friends in grade school, just their lives had gone downhill. Well, both the guys separately kind of confessed to me or admitted to me. It wasn't really a confession. It wasn't their fault. They were sitting there saying, well, what happened is they got molested by these priests, you know. And I thought, well, this is bullshit. It's still going on. So I started looking into this, and I played total investigative journalist. I even faked who I was. I went to these things, found out what they were doing was using these The kids' grade skill, you know, everybody got their, I don't know if they do it in New Zealand, but in America, and you get your picture taken every year, and you got the little book, and people pay for the book or whatever, and here you are in your little school book. Well, they were using them for menus, paging through this thing, looking for the little boys. And it was mostly boys, so it's even sicker. And so it's like they would say, oh, this boy, that boy. Well, then the kid would get an invitation mailed to their home saying, we want little Johnny or Joey or Mikey or whatever to be an altar boy or an attendant at this, either it was either a specifically church-oriented thing or a non-denominational, because it involved people of every other faith as well, these non-denominational things, very wealthy people, the same ones who donate to politicians, donate to the church folks. And these guys would sit there and pick these kids out. They would get an invite. Well, of course, the parents are like, wow, they get to go to this retreat for a weekend or a week with big shots from Monsanto or Anheuser-Busch or Emerson Electric in St. Louis, to use the example where I live. And it was like, of course, they have to go. They'll get in the right school. They'll network. They'll get to meet these people. They'll get in the right high school. All these things were going through the family's mind. Well, in the meantime, the kid goes to this thing, gets molested. Who's he going to tell? Heck, his rabbi, his priest, his minister might be there. And it's like, who are you going to, and that might be another guy molesting him. And if they go home, some of the parents are like, well, just shut up, don't tell anything, or else the kid's too ashamed. And I found out that when they did tell the local police, the St. Louis County Police, or the local media, and I can name names, pretty big names, they never got on the news. It never got picked up. And then I started doing the research that, and it was the same thing in Milwaukee and Philadelphia and Boston. The same kind of garbage was going on in Ireland and Germany. Well, when I was getting this done in St. Louis, and I turned over some information to one of the lawyers who was going to go after the church, next thing you know, Vinny, I'm getting death threats. I was actually threatened to be excommunicated from the church. I didn't even get to tell you that, Kristen, which I didn't care. I didn't go to that box church anyway. Except it's just somebody's funeral. That's the only time I'll go to it.
You'd be like, really? Really? I can't go into a church full of pedophile scum anymore because I exposed you as pedophile scum? Oh, gee. I guess you dodged that bullet.
Well, I sent a thank you card. But after that, it was like, I really am out of my house. I mean, it was a couple other things. I got into how the hidden subsidiary, Bayer Pharmaceutical, got our water company. And I got into municipal ordinance creep and the trash company being sold to the mob. I mean, I kind of went for everybody. So I decided to, do the perfect storm of getting yourself kicked out of your house and threatened with your life. But as far as the child sex slavery thing in America, and it's tied to, what was going on to the Native Canadians, what happened to the Native Americans. I think you probably know Kevin Annette that looked into all that stuff in Canada. Came out in Ireland and Germany's gone after it. Of course, we had Pope Ratzi there who was in charge of making sure that, hey, if there was a kid that hadn't been molested, he was more than glad to put him on the list, it's just crazy. And, I don't know if you've got into this at all, which really freaked me out. Prescott Bush, the scumbag, the whole Bush family is one of them that should have, if you could go back in time, somebody please eliminate the Bush family. When you go back and find, Samuel Bush was just as bad. And then you got Prescott trying to, get Smedley Butler to bump off FDR and take over. Well, he actually, to cover his fanny, created the USO. And I, as a kid, used to sit there and watch Bob Hope glued to the thing every Christmas going, oh, boy, Bob Hope's on. And we would watch USO. My dad loved USO when he was drafted into World War II, and then he served in Korea. But then you find out the USO was using all these starlets to, feign and, basically blackmail all these American officers and foreign officers and all the politicians and all these countries we were invading. And you sit there and you think, oh my gosh, isn't any of this stuff sacred at all? It just blows you away.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and also what happens is I've interviewed a number of people who investigate this kind of thing, and even if you don't even go through the abuse, even if you don't go through the trauma of exposing these scumbags or anything like that, just investigating it, just knowing that it's going on, actually makes people get really despondent, depressed. They develop mental problems and things like that because it's so traumatic. It's very difficult for a sane person to process, kind of thing, and they wind up going to a whole lot of counseling sessions and so on and so forth. So yeah, man, it's freaking huge. I have some good news on this note. A friend of mine, Philippa Cunningham, she had her child taken away at the age of 10. She's now 14. We protested outside of Child, Youth and Family Services offices, who are the CPS of New Zealand. And she got, for the first time, a call from her daughter just the other week. And they're going to be able to see each other again. And something tells me that we had something to do with that. Because we were talking about their pedophile agenda. We were talking about how they've got a quota. Like, they need X amount of white kids, X amount of Asian kids, X amount of Māori and Pacific Island kids, and so on and so forth. It's all about the money. Because just like in CPS, for example, they get state-appropriated funds for each child that they confiscate off of their parents. Ergo, there's actually a monetary reason why a worker might try to take your kids off you. It's because they get a bonus and they get a bigger budget and so on and so forth. Doesn't that strike you as disgustingly despicable?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, you said it'd drive you crazy. Luckily, I'm half crazy already anyway. So.
Yeah, yeah. It actually probably balanced you out.
Yeah. Not much to lose left. I've had 9 concussions. What brains?
9 concussions.
Yeah. I've been in, what was it, 6 total cars. I walked away from them all, so I guess, I don't know, something's either trying to kill me or something's trying to keep me alive. I don't know which.
I think it's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B.
Yeah. Fracking A, I'm still here.
Miraculous survival.
Yes.
Whereas some people have never been in a car accident in their life, and they have one, you know, little fender bender, and they get freaked out and stuff like that. So, like, oh, bro, you know, there's a hell of a lot more serious stuff going on.
Exactly. Hey, I figured I haven't been in a foxhole yet. Life's been easy.
Yeah, pretty much. I think these last couple of generations since World War II have been, everybody's had it pretty freaking easy, really. You know, think about it. 50s.
Well, unless you're a woman in Kabul or growing up in a Muslim tribe in Nigeria and you're, you know, stuff's about, somebody's going to start snipping your stuff off. You know, a few people have had it rough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the Western world anyway, I mean, it's been pretty easy. We've had cheap oil, we've had social welfare benefits and so on and so forth. But eventually that's all been kind of cut down and eroded until now we're starting to get into the point where it's like we're kind of almost going to be in depression era pretty soon if we're not already, in terms of hard times, unemployment and the wafting scumbaggery that comes out of the White House. And I do think that what a lot of people don't realize is that every generation has its own little challenges, and we ain't had ours yet. I think it's freaking coming, and you better be prepared for it.
Oh, you mean the White House? You mean the home of the two-party crime syndicate?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I mean, you know, we weren't sure. And you're right. There's some, and you're right. I mean, versus some of the other things. I mean, I used to think that, too. I mean, I'm a little older than you guys, I think. I'm as old as dirt. And my parents actually lived through the so-called Great Depression, and my father lived through World War II, and he went got called back in for Korea, and he was there on D-Day and stuff. So, I mean, you listen to what the greatest generation went through, then there was like 2 or 3 generations that people didn't realize how lucky they had it. But we were lucky, but that's why the elite went nuts trying to break things up and to deliberately dumb down things like, you know, Charlotte Isabee has tried to show, and Anthony Sutton tried to tell warn people about. That they were deliberately trying to dumb people down. And, you know, and like you said, Rockefeller, I love that quote that you had. I saw it on your page, too, that it's just like they don't hide it at all. I mean, you know, 1984 was practically a blueprint for what we have now, the Brave New World. I mean, these guys knew what they're planning on doing. But it's like, you know, they saw that, you know, hey, we can't have the greatest generation that all of a sudden we're demanding to have rights and to vote and to have free time and vacations. It's like, oh no, we gotta take care of that. Ship the jobs to someplace for a couple pennies a day, and, you know, make America just into a service economy where nobody can get a job, that you don't have to work 60 hours a week to pay for your rent. And people are foolish enough not to object to all this stuff, and that's part of the problem, is that we just got people now. And I don't know if it's the same in New Zealand, Vinny, but we can't get people to vote. We can't get people to take jury duty. They sit on their hands, and then they say, oh, things are up. It's like, Well, get off your butt and get involved, for pity's sakes, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think that the problems are
same in New Zealand?
The problems are too large for anybody to take a back seat anymore. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and it's like, you know how I said earlier how I went out on a bit of a bender and met a whole bunch of conspiracy theorists. You know how many of them are actually doing anything with this knowledge? None of them. You know, they know the world's fracked. They know that this is going on, but they still go to their job. They still do this, that, and the other. And you know, the problem is that job ain't going to be there. Your kids, your home, your car, everything that you're currently working for, everything that you're not going out being active because you're afraid and you want to protect what you currently still have, it ain't going to frickin' be there. You got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
I think that was kind of my realization when the big oil cano in the Gulf of Mexico happened, and then Fukushima. It's just like, oh my God, This world's so freaking dead. And it just sort of like revitalized me and jazzercised me to a degree, you know, in the Richard Simmons sense of the word.
Oh, I like that.
Well, I like your tagline, the lighter side of genocide. not that we're trying to make fun of it, but I mean, it's, what else can you do? And you have to laugh to keep your spirits up so you can get up and do something again. You know, next day, get up and try again and do something.
Well, as the Terminator said,
the system to make more people aware.
Arnold Schwarzenegger said, Arnold Schwarzenegger said this in Terminator 3. He says, "Your levity is good. It relieves tension and the fear of death."
only the son of an ex-Nazi could come up with that kind of humor. You know?
Oh, he still wears his dad's he still wears his dad's skull and crossbones SS belt buckles to rallies sometimes.
Well, hey, he played the game. He knew what to do, and he thinks whatever he did in his cult life got what he wanted. Look at it. He said that he wanted to marry a Kennedy, which was the U.S. royalty. He became a movie star. He became a governor, and he probably could have had a shot at president if they hadn't had that silly amendment in the way.
Yeah, see, it's ironic. It's ironic, isn't it? Because that amendment didn't stop Barack H. O. Barry Satoru.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course not.
So you know what they'll do?
I know, but yeah, see, that was okay because he was black. They pretended he was black, and they pretended he was liberal, and so those people didn't look into it because they didn't really care that his mother couldn't fly out of Kenya because she was pregnant, and his grandma over there said he was, you know, he was born there. But let's face it, they didn't care that the guy never held a job, and that as a congressman and a senator from Illinois, he never passed a single piece of legislation anybody can recall, and while he was a U.S. senator, nobody can even remember a single speech he gave on the floor or a single piece of legislation he even attached his name to. But by God, can he read a teleprompter? You know what I'm saying?
That man
can sit, you know, ooh. He is so well chipped.
He is the teleprompter so maestro.
I mean,
he is the Beethoven of teleprompter
reading. Here's a guy that was a CIA operative in Pakistan.
Yeah. Okay. Seem to have lost you there.
I'm having power problems over here, so shoot. Can anybody hear me?
I can.
My encoders are going out, and I'm having a problem. It's just Carolyn.
She dropped off.
She's having
a little bit of connectivity issues. Isn't it interesting when we start talking about Barry Satoru and then all... She talks about his Pakistan CIA past, and then boom, she drops out. I love that. I love that kind of stuff because, you know, it really freaks conspiracy theorists out to a large degree. And I'm all about freaking out conspiracy theorists. It's fun. I have to admit.
Talk about this stuff all the time over here. This is a daily occurrence.
Yeah.
And most of the pods they play is something about medical trying to kill you with the medical system or Monsanto or...
They're not even trying to kill you with the medical system. They're actually just killing you. You know, they've cut out the middleman.
Yeah, they're just killing you. My mistake. I mince my words, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, it's another night. We've been on the radio since 9 o'clock p.m. It's 3 o'clock in the morning here.
Holy cow.
So I'm about ready to go. Yeah, I know. It's been a long day. And we had two wonderful, amazing people. We had a gentleman named Fernando Vasa and Ronald Patrick Marriott, two free energy proponents who are going to be speaking at the Global Breakthrough Movement Conference in Boulder, Colorado on October 10th to the 12th. And kind of wondering why they had a flood there, like, you know, the other day. So we're just praying for them. Praying for our Caroline has a lot of cats, and some of them have been sick, and she's had to move so many times that it affects their health. So we're kind of praying for them and asking people to send donations to the veterinarian. Instead of giving her the money, just send it to the vet to pay the bill and stuff like that, and just trying to just get a message out, let people know that, you know, we're here and trying to change the world. And mostly the message from the gentleman was that it's our thoughts, and if you believe, you can just change your world. Ask for what you want and you'll get it. And and Ronald was trying to buy Wardenclyffe before the Nikolai Tesla Foundation, Science Foundation, bought it a couple of days before he put the down payment. So, you know, interesting people trying to do interesting things, and, you know, trying to make more awareness. And all, not only that, not only try to make people aware, but trying to use the technologies to change everybody's life so we don't have to, you know, live in this combustion engine age, you know, just a few steps up from the dark ages. So that's what we're doing. What are you doing, Vinny?
Exposing scumbag.
There? Yeah.
You know,
there you
I think that, well, basically I've been told the other day that I'm not doing anything by some people. And, just thinking to myself, you know what? Maybe, what if they're right? What if they're right? What if I'm not actually doing anything? So let's have a look at what I'm spending my time on rather than what I'm actually accomplishing. I'm interviewing a new person every day who would basically never in their wildest dreams get a spot on the mainstream media and give them like an hour or two to talk and share amazing information, and that goes out free to everybody. Okay. What does that accomplish, Vinny, though? You know, you want to have some kind of accomplishment. You need to make things happen. Well, is having an audio archive up there, having thousands upon thousands of people listen to it, have one listener tell you that they were going to commit suicide until they heard the show and started realizing that things weren't that bad and you can actually laugh about all this stuff? What about people who walk up to me in a protest, and two people at one protest give me just $100 note? I wouldn't ask them for nothing. They just gave it to me. I must be accomplishing something, you know. I must be, because I'm making people's lives happier. I'm enriching the global environment with a little bit of humor and mind bending information. I'm cutting through the matrix in that degree. I'm making networks and friends and stuff all over the place. And I think that I support the people who actually do try to accomplish something by giving them coverage. Because, you know, the old saying, if a tree falls in the middle of a forest and there's nobody around to hear it kind of thing. Like, if an activist accomplishes something and nobody gives them any airtime, did they really accomplish anything? I see to it that they make sure that they actually do get some frickin' airtime. And I'm nearly up to 10,000
YouTube
subscribers. That's like pretty awesome. And the rest of the mainstream media in New Zealand don't have rankings anything near that. You know? Like, I'm actually outrank every single mainstream media outlet in the country that covers news. Isn't that interesting? By my fracking self.
Yep.
Is that something that I've accomplished? Is that something that's important for society? Is that something that makes the world a better place? You know what? It actually frickin' does. And so to the people who say that I'm accomplishing nothing, point it back at you. What the frack have you accomplished, seeing as I've accomplished so frickin' little? And they go, that's right, you've accomplished nothing because you're a useless scumbag who chooses to criticize people instead of criticizing yourself and going out there and making stuff happen because you're that powerful, but you don't recognize your own power. That's what people do. They talk themselves out of it. It's like, should I, you know, make $1 million this year? No.
Well, you know, it's 9 o'clock tonight. I've been on the air, and I've been up since 7 this morning, so about fried, yeah.
I was just talking to myself there for quite some time. I was getting on quite a roll too. I didn't realize that all the call had been dropped.
I tried to tell you.
I'm sorry. Brett's going to think you're off the air. We're all talking away. Nobody's listening.
Well, that's okay because the encoder dropped a couple times while we were talking. So who knows? And I don't see anything moving. Oh, wait a minute. I turned the lock talk off. Okay, now we're good. We're good.
I got a back recorder going, so whatever we miss, we can cut and paste.
Yeah, well, we can't get back when we were all off the air. I guess we're done. Shit. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was funny, Vince. You were talking, I'm talking. When Brett's all of a sudden going, I think you're not on the computer. And I think the computer went then.
Yeah. Oh, so hey, we were both doing that. That happened to me on air one time.
The best things we've said on.
It's on. You're on air now. Jesus Christ!
No, I mean like one of my guests. He was starting to rant and he was really getting into it, and then all of a sudden he dropped out. And then about 5 minutes later, we managed to get him back and called him up, and he was still talking like he'd been talking for a full 5 minutes, and he didn't realize he'd been disconnected.
This is live.
That's just sad, brother.
Hey, did you catch what I said? Ronald Marriott sent a note saying he had a really great time tonight. He sent it to me on Facebook.
Absolutely, yeah. He sent me a link. I don't know if we're on the same page or what, but we're on a different group page now. But yeah, he had sent a link and I posted it on the show sites. But let me just tell you, we're on a Wi-Fi system. I was encoding on 3 different radio shows, and I had a web, 3 web pages open, and Skype, and my SAM, and my VAX. So the fact that we're even able to do this is miraculous. And then I went and turned the heater on. And then the fuse blew, and I don't know where it is, so I just took the plug and plugged it into another plug. And about right before we got disconnected, the power went off again, but it came right back on. So I don't know if my brother-in-law unplugged it or what. But and then you started to talk about Obama, and then the encoder went off again. And so then we're talking about Obama. We'll get disconnected. Did we lose Vinny?
Yeah, I'm still here. Did you hear me talking about like people telling me that I haven't accomplished anything?
Yeah, you were in the middle of it. You said you had like 10,000 people on your
YouTube there.
On your YouTube channel?
Yeah.
Or was it 100,000?
No, she's nearly up to 10,000.
Yeah, I have about almost 40. Yeah, I only have about 40,000 views combined on some of my videos. But
oh, I don't know how many views I've got combined. Let's just check.
Oh, yeah, you got millions probably, yeah.
Over 1 million. Oh, 1,957,824 and 8,872 subscribers. So I'm on my way to hit 2 million hits and 10,000 subscribers.
It's amazing. Congratulations.
Well, that's amazing. I think it's that sexy voice.
But he doesn't do anything. That's the problem.
You don't have to. Just talk. Just listen to that.
Just talk. He's never going to hang up now, Carol.
His girlfriend will hang up.
She gets jealous. And when she gets jealous, she gets horny. So it's all good.
It's all good. Okay.
Unless you get to kiss.
I went either
up.
Way, you know.
Yeah, kiss and make up. Awesome. I think that's the best part. You know, I'm going to have to change that PZAP now. I have to put Vinny's picture in there now.
Oh, absolutely. She made the best, what is it, collage of pictures for the show tonight. It was just amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Gives me a little chance for a little artistry there. You know, you got to have that part of the brain, too. Yeah, I have a few brain cells left on that side.
Very good. You'll have to tell me how you do that. That's quite amazing.
I just use a free thing called PZAP on Facebook. I'll walk you through it. It's really simple. You can do a collage. You can even do a timeline banner for your page.
You seem to be breaking up a little bit there. Uh-oh.
Because then they actually make it fit, so you don't have to worry about how if it's going to Facebook. You know, I mean, we all know the data mine. Who cares?
Yep, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, you know who started that?
Everybody seems to be breaking up right now.
Richard Hoagland was the one who said, or no, was it Stephen? Not Stephen Greer, the other one, the other Stephen who does the disclosure. Yeah, because of my signal, I told you, this is a miracle. We're not even encoding. We're just on Skype. We're done. We're really done. I think it's time to go. I don't know why the encoder stopped.
Well, we're actually recording still, so we've still got
something
we want. Well, I can say I've got over 2,200 pictures. Photo albums. I'd like to figure out if somebody come up with an app so I could actually search through my own photo albums. I can't even find my own photo albums.
I'm going to shut down the Knights of the Round Table because I think Shaziz needs a rest. Somebody might actually be trying to pop me off, think I went to sleep or something. So we will get off of that, and we'll just be on the one encoder at Wake Radio. But go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, I just wish I could, because I've came up with ones. I used the photo album thing to put different news items out with all kinds of links and stuff. And now I've got so many of them, I can't even search through them myself to find things. If you have to go by page, you go nuts. So I have to get somebody. So when anybody listens to this, if anybody ever will, please write an app for come and go through voting out photo albums on Facebook, please.
Awesome.
How long have you been on Facebook? A long time, Ben. How long have you been on the radio? That's even more important.
I think I've had my own show for like over 3 years. And I was a co-host on somebody else's for like 6 months, I think. And before that, I was basically a street activist with a camera. And I just, you know, started doing YouTube videos and things like that. Then an American producer noticed me. And bam, I'm the first New Zealander to have an American talk show. Because I know more about America than most Americans, unfortunately. It's a frickin' sad state of affairs over there, man.
Well, you know, like I said, we've mentioned it before. That's what, you know, Anthony Sutton, that's what Charlotte Isabee tried to tell people. And everybody thought, oh, well, Anthony Sutton must be a conservative idiot. But, you know, they don't realize that, no, it was by design. They didn't want the greatest generation. It had kind of been awakened because they got to actually travel, which most Americans don't do. You know, people, as sad as it was, World War II did at least get some people off their butt and put them on a boat and nothing else. They got to see a little bit of the world and find out that other people have lives, too, and they have children and gardens and good food and restaurants and movies and books and whatnot, and it's like they got scared. It was like, well, we really have to shut this down. It was, you know, they had kept women from getting educated for most of our history, and then they had kept, obviously, black people from getting educated for most of our history, and they still kept most of the black schools lousy, but then they decided, well, we better make the rest of these public schools, you know, as bad as we can, because we can't have all these people asking questions. It's, you know, it's like they said, they don't want, oh, we got enough doctors, lawyers, because, you know, they get it from their own upper class people. They just want...
It's quite a difficult situation, I think, because when you talk about education, there's a number of different factors of it.
Cars, and if you're really into engines or whatever. But
yeah. Yeah, Carolyn, you're breaking up something chronic, you know. I was just thinking about this. What are the different ways to get educated? Experience? That's a big one. Travel? That's a big one.
Yep.
You know? And you'll get to the point where you realize, oh my gosh, all of the education that I was told to get actually didn't educate me at all, and all the education started after. You know? I mean, it's just like, nothing else actually, yeah. Nothing out of school that I've ever learned, you know, I mean, maybe basic mathematics and basic English. That's basically the only thing that I learned out of high school. That was of any practical use to me. Everything else was taught to me by my parents or my life experience. And I just think to myself, frack, how many years did I spend in that institution getting abused by people, having authority figures in front of me who were dumber than I was, learning stuff that didn't frickin' matter, that was completely irrelevant to my entire life choice, associating with other people who thought that they were cool when they were just retarded, you know, it's just, I don't frickin' get it. And I think that's because I think, and, you know, universities are the same thing. They try to teach people critical thinking, but all they wind up doing is teaching people to be critical of other people that can actually still think, despite going to university.
Good point.
Getting dumbed down, yep. Something chronic, man. Mm-hmm. And in fact, intelligent stupid people. You ever heard that term? You were the dumbest smart person I've ever seen or something like that? My God, it's so true, man. Uh-huh. There are people out there who are so qualified up to Africa, and they can barely think their way out of a gosh dang paper bag. It's really freaking sad, and it makes me so angry. It's because they think they're smarter than me. They think they're superior in some way. I don't think I'm smarter than them or superior of that way or whatever. I just, you know, happen to be. It's not my fault, you know. I'm not trying to, you know, big myself up or anything. It's just, you're just a douchebag, bro, and you don't know what you're talking about. And it's not my fault, you know. I didn't indoctrinate you. I didn't lie to you. I didn't deceive you. I didn't frickin' make a system up off of the top of my head in order to turn you into some dumbed-down, mind-controlled frickin' slave that loves the state and the things that kill it and, you know, justify everything that the state does but always questions whatever me, the individual, does, you know? I didn't do that to you.
Absolutely.
Well, my dad used to call them college-educated idiots. That's why during the war, he wouldn't join the OSS or the officers' corps. He stayed a sergeant because he couldn't stand the college-educated officers that were always getting people killed while they sat in the officers' club getting drunk or trying to find some local bag to bang, you know. And I got to admit, I've got a bunch of pieces of paper. I look really good on paper. But I probably learned more. I know I did learn more from both of my parents. My mom never got beyond eighth grade, and my father never got beyond eighth grade. He got a GED in the Army. And then the 4 years of exile I've had, I've spent the most amount of time reading and reading and reading. And I watch so many lectures on YouTube. You can even get college lectures free now on YouTube. I watch so many things, everything from, you know, everything David Icke's put out. I've watched all of Alex Jones' movies, watched everything, listened to everybody's shows, listened to this, listened to that, read everything I could online. So, I mean, that's one thing I really liked is that, thank God, at least with the internet, while we still have it, when we start getting our own guerrilla Wi-Fi up, you know, the access to more information is out there now. Because if you think you knew anything about energy or anything like that because you went to school, you know, you went to school, you didn't learn a thing about Tesla. They still don't teach it in school. You can go get a degree in electrical engineering and never know anything about Tesla except for maybe the one, what is that, one energy unit that's named after him. That's about it.
That's called the,
Tesla coil.
That's called the electrical down effect.
Brett is just showing me.
Electrical down effect.
Explain what you just did. Brett, come here and explain.
Brett just made that up. Did you hear that?
I like it. Brett just brought something over. You should. I wish you. We'll have to send this to you.
I was looking at the weather radar here. It's starting to storm here. I just happened to zoom out, and I'm looking at over Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia. And there's these weird circular patterns that I've seen in the radar before. I can only assume some kind of weather manipulation BS of some sort. But yeah, I just kind of threw that over to Carolyn. Just had her look at it real quick.
Oh, yeah. I mean, these are clearly not normal patterns. There's one on Mississippi. There's one over Georgia. Where are we at? Okay. Wow. We got a hell of a storm coming.
Yeah, there's more coming our
way. My good heavens. Yeah, we're going to get whacked pretty good, actually. Matter of fact, looks like it's going to be several hours of it. We may be washed away. I hope this trailer's got – we got pontoons on this thing?
But, yeah, the link isn't going to bring them right to where the circles were. They're going to have to –
Yeah, it's weird. The circles are down south. What's probably causing it is what it's doing. It's pushing these storms up north. Yeah, it's moving the moisture and everything up north.
They're trying to shut you down, Carolyn. That's what it is.
Wow, I'm not kidding you. There is some really
yeah. Take out Carol by sending an entire storm to the region, right?
Shit, why not? Right?
You never know.
The collateral damage.
And he took down air. They've taken down airliners, didn't they? They took down buildings. What the hell? Why not send a storm at somebody?
Yeah. Well, you'd never guarantee that you get them, though. Like, in a plane crash, it's pretty much guaranteed that you're fracked. Whereas you send a storm somewhere, you know, like you say, a few pontoons on the side of the trailer, you'll be sweet as.
Oh. Hey, anybody in Phoenix and Albuquerque, circles are starting over there now, so I don't know what the hell that means. We should see the storm that's coming. Wow, this is going to be nasty.
Unfortunately, it's radio.
Trailers too, so.
Unfortunately, it's radio, so we can't see it.
Yeah, no. We're sending the link. We're sharing the link. We're sharing it.
We shared the link on my Facebook page where I always tell everybody to go there. So.
Well, is this a commercial?
What, for AccuWeather? What? I don't know.
City, CITI, two times dining entertainment. Any clues? Okay, there it is. Look, it's like the whole screen is red and yellow.
I was gonna say we're in California, Missouri. So if you're looking at that, we're basically fracked. I mean, it's like holy! If this storm actually hits us, it's gonna be a real mother. You know what?
Jeez. How far did you move away from Jefferson City?
Okay, about 20 miles west, don't you think, Brett? Than Jeff City. Yeah, about 20 miles west, a little bit northwest. But, yeah, we're going to get nailed by a bunch of stuff here. And we'll try to find out if this trailer is waterproof. We don't know yet. So this ought to be really interesting. Nobody's been in this trailer in about 5 or 6 years. I'm not kidding you. The layer of dirt, we had to get spatulas and, Jesus, try to clean stuff. It was crazy. And it's still the back room. I won't even go in there yet. I don't know what's in there. Oh, and you heard the creaking door, right? It's haunted. Well, you know, that last place, I told you, it was so bizarre that half that basement really was like 3 foot raised dirt. I really wonder how many bodies are buried in that thing.
Oh, my God.
Because the pictures that Brett took in the basement, they all had orbs all over where. And I'm like, oh, my God, there's all these people trapped down here probably.
Well, that's dirt. That's just dirt on your lens. You got to clean your lens. Remember?
I don't know. They were moving. Hey, you better get that flashlight out before the lights go out, just in case. You had to burn the candle early, didn't you? He had a candle burning. Now we're gonna go through and turn it. Now we won't have a candle. Jeez, I'm like, what are you burning the candle now for?
Have you ever heard the jokes about Irish inventions, like inventions that are kind of counterintuitive, like the pedal powered wheelchair, or the
pedal?
Hey, that's a good one. I like that.
Or the submarine with window wipers.
Cool.
Yeah.
Or the solar powered flashlight.
It works. I have one you shake. I have a shake up one.
I got one.
I was sitting there like my
solar power.
One of the little shaker ones, you know, and I think it was my girlfriend's mother who bought it for me for a Christmas present or something like that. And I was just sitting there, you know, furiously shaking it, sort of thing. And I thought I was having some quiet time to myself, you know.
Oh, wow. Did you have any lotion with you or what?
I think so. I think there was lotion involved. Right lotion.
I was going to say, he doesn't even understand. We keep making these jokes about the Aroscillator. You'll have to share that link. You still got that one?
No. That was yesterday. We need a new one.
You didn't save it? I thought you were going to order one.
Yeah, I didn't save it.
Yeah.
I guess it was just so exciting. When you guys hung up, it was the last thing I saw before I shut the computer down, and I forgot to save it. Maybe I could look in history.
I bet it's on the one. Yeah, it's on the one where we're on with Rick.
Remember
we were enjoying it.
We kept putting it in the chat.
Here it is. I got it.
Oh my god.
Yeah, well, this will knock out a bunch. Of stuff.
I don't know. It's for men or women. Yeah.
I can see it. Yeah, you can have some fun with that.
It's
a family toy. It's a family toy.
Does that mean it's family sized? And what family are we talking about? Are we talking about Rockefeller, Rothschild family or something like that? Because, you know, their family toys are different from what other people would conceive of as a family toy. A little bit of lead paint, you know, a little lubricant.
I'm just going to tell you, Vinny, if you choose to get one of these for your girlfriend, I'm going to warn you, get the one with the cord because you'll run out of batteries. It is no way you're keeping up batteries in the house. So get the cord one, get the long cord. And don't worry about the gold, you know, plated one. They actually have a gold plated one now. But I'm going to tell you, you won't see her for a couple of days.
All right, I got that covered.
All right.
Like if I want to go away for the weekend with the boys or something and go hunting or whatever, you know, I'll just give it to her as a present. You mean?
Yeah, just give it to her. Yep.
We're gonna have that. When we want to have this 24/7 network up, when we do that, I want the Aroscillator to be one of our main advertisers. So we have to remember to come up with a hunting version. So we can have it like camo.
It would be camo, absolutely.
Yeah, we can have a camo colored and say, you know, for the hunter, and we can have them tied into like a 12-volt battery if they're taking it in the field.
Yeah, but you can call it the camo toe.
Right, and then it's like, there you go. And it's like, you know, for the woman who stays at home, you know, hey, while he's out hunting, you've already got what you need. So it's like we can have that one kind of specially made for the woman at lonely at home while he's out hunting. So this is the time of year we should be selling these. We can make a ton.
Yeah, and
at
also
Christmas, it's the gift that keeps on giving. Yeah,
let's go
and
get it.
And also there's a version you can get that can completely erase your husband, and it also mows the lawn.
Yeah, what kind of version is that?
Well, we believe in growing
gardens. Is that a rider version? That's a rider version.
Hey, you know what? We could get one that attaches to your riding mower.
It's a hands-free version, you know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, trust me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, yeah, but you know, you'd fall off that thing so many times off that mower.
Yeah.
It would almost be a little, you'd have to like have seat belts on the mower. So we'd have to sell it with seatbelts required.
Yeah.
You know,
or
with a shoulder harness and everything.
They'd be different from seat belts. You could just call them strap-ons.
There you go.
Yep.
Now we know where that came from. Now we understand. Okay.
With or without the lawnmower. Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. You know, you mow your bush, I'll mow my lawn. You know, whatever you got, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think it's called mowing a bush. Is it like trimming?
so how we slip these in. Certain radio stations will never know. We'll stay on it.
But we're on awake, so maybe, you know, everybody's awake. We're not losing anybody. I think we're gaining a couple here.
We're waking up a few people. That's what it is. They want to know where to get one, probably. We do have to get it. We got to get a franchise and get a percentage off of this. I don't mind being a capitalist when it comes to toys.
So I don't even know what we're talking about. You lost me like way earlier, and I was just putting in random suggestions. I still don't know what it is we're talking about.
Okay, it worked. It absolutely worked.
I just sent it to you on Skype, to you, Vincent, on Skype as well. I'll send it on because
the Arosolator.
That's right. I
put it into chat. Nobody's looking at the chat.
Yeah.
I'm talking to myself here.
So the quality vibrator attachments for clitoral, vaginal, and anal orgasm.
Why don't you just post it to the webpage?
Official website by the manufacturer, the Arosolator. It sounds like some kind of machine that was sent by the future to give you orgasms. I am the Arosolator. Does it come with an accent or a voice function?
You gotta really wonder because it does sound very German, doesn't it? You shall use your Arosolator. Yes, yes. You will bring in the Arosolator.
It looks like a kitchen appliance. Like I could use this for making gumbo.
What the hell kind of kitchen? One of those pieces looks like the end of a rattlesnake.
Oh yeah, I know that one that has that like white thing. That's the one I thought was the Muslim one because when I was looking at it without my glasses, I didn't see the white one. I thought it was a crescent moon.
It was. Why? Oh my god, I was laughing the whole time. I said, "What is she talking about? The Muslims?" And then I finally found the page, and I was cracking up the rest of the night. I came for you to bring it back up. I was like, oh my god, she wasn't kidding.
You can just imagine the just imagine the Arabian girl sitting there going, Allah Akbar.
God,
Arosolator Hu Akbar. It means Arosolator is great.
Yeah. It's right. See, now go to the page where you choose it. I mean, they have the gold version now. It's gold plated. They don't even have the one I bought was $100, so I guess they don't have my cheap version anymore. Shoot, are the prices have gone up?
You get the attachments for like $80. I don't know how much
you get a couple. They send you a couple attachments with it, but trust me, I'll show you. I'll tell you offline which is the best one. You won't even use the other ones. Trust me. Good Lord. Whoever invented that
one. $13, if you scroll down the bottom of the top page.
Well, you have to say, when I got it,
was butterfly effect.
I wonder if I got it at a special, $99.99 or something. But they didn't have the gold one when I got it. So they do last a while. I'll give them a good advertisement. And like I said, definitely get the plug-in model because the batteries are pointless.
Yeah.
You guys are terrible.
French Legionnaire's mustache. I like that.
French Legionnaire's mustache.
That didn't come with mine. I feel really hurt.
I thought you came with yours.
Yeah.
Oh God! That one didn't come with mine.
You see, now you're not. That's not a very good endorsement. You know, I bought this and it didn't come with mine. You know.
Oh God! Well, yeah, I was coming along anyway. So anyway, I didn't need the friend.
This Muslim thing. Oh my! The crazy dude. It's horrible. What? It's called an ultra soft fingertip.
No. Like, without my glasses, that white part just kind of blended in with the background, and it looked like a crescent moon. I thought, well, look at that.
I
actually only saw the crescent moon.
Doesn't it look pointy and painful? It's just me, but...
Oh, no. A ball and cup's okay. Oh, no, I'm telling you, the Greek and the coxcomb.
Okay.
Aren't you glad?
Okay.
Glad you got to talk to us. Isn't that awesome?
Maybe it's a poor choice of words, but let's try to get a grip.
Oh God!
Which end?
At the base.
This thing was called the Greg and the Greats and the Coxcomb. I mean, Jesus, that thing's worth $1 million right there. I'm telling you. Oh my God! Yeah, that's the one. I never knew that. Go for the grapes. Go stay in the grapevines. I'm telling you, you'll never leave the grapevines.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. I'm in tears here. I got to go find mine. It's probably out in the rain. Oh, Lord.
It's probably out in the rain. What, do you, like, hang it on your clothesline to dry off from all the jism?
I had a long cord. I was out in the woods, you know what I mean? You go walking, things happen. You know, and I just have to keep things handy when you go in the woods, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, because if there's... Long cord, I attached it to a... It's one of those essentials, you know, you put on your list if you're going out in the woods, you know, pen, knife, water, food, tent, ultra soft fingertip, vagina smuggler.
grapes and coxcomb. There you go. Well, you know, I put other people like drop little marshmallows or something. I just put in a really extended long cord and I just, you know, have my little oscillator in my back pocket and it just helps me find my way home, you know? No yeah. problem.
Kind of like sonar.
Pull myself in by the cord. Yeah. And if I get lost or and I get bored, I just, you know, turn it on, you know.
Like the squeeze.
And all the owls are hooting and everything. I'm hooting. Right, the owls are hooting, I'm hooting. The coyotes are howling, I'm howling. I just fit
hey,
right
do you know what you call? Do you know what you call two owls that are working together to commit a crime? In cahoots.
What?
I don't know. I don't give a hoot. Hey, owls are gorgeous. You ever see one? I saw one in the woods that had about a 5-foot wingspan. That white thing. Wow. Flew right in front of me. Didn't hear it. Landed on a tree in front of me. That thing was staring at me. I just backed up and went the other way. I'm like, holy moly. Biggest. I thought it was in Bohemian Grove for a minute there.
Yeah. Well, we got these really beautiful little owls here. These kind of miniature ones called moorporks. And I saw a baby one of them, and it's like, oh, my God, it's the cutest little bird I've ever seen in my life. He's just like the big eyes and all of that kind of thing, man. Oh, my God.
How do you spell that? Mopox?
More pork. You know, like, if you want pork, but there's not enough of it, and you want more, it's spelled the same. More. You want more pork.
All right, I'm going and looking this up here. I'm going to see if there really is such thing as a mopark. Poke. Pork. All right, it hasn't brought it up yet. Oh, don't tell me this thing's going to go down here. Okay. Missouri pork producers, that's not it.
Yeah, here we are. I've got you a picture. If you search more pork owl, it comes up with it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Mopoke by itself brought me a Missouri pork. well, Missouri, it doesn't know. That's actually a name, though.
Yeah.
Oh, look at the little thing. They're cute.
Oh, no. Ridiculously cute.
Oh, they got video of the little things.
Mm.
Now some of them spell it more, like in more things, and some spell it M.
Yeah, I've got this this picture here. If you want to transfer it, it's the suspicious more pork. He knows you're up to something, but he doesn't know what. Like you know that kind of suspicious look something has when it kind of like cranes its head to the side and sort of narrows one of his eyes at you. And what the frick are you up to? It's like a picture of one of the birds like that. It's quite funny. Looks like Carolyn's dropped off yet again. So that means okay, I'm going to pay attention to the screen this time so I don't go off on some kind of a rant and completely mess it up.
It's not her. The encoder's still working, so we're still online. So we're on the air. So You're good. It might have something to do with the download. I don't know. You realize I'm on a Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
I'm not very close to the what do you call it?
Now my dinner's about ready, actually.
Well, then you need to go and eat, and I need to go to sleep because I've had enough fun for one night one weekend.
Yeah. Well, crack open the look at the suspicious moor pork first.
Okay, yes, as soon as it downloads. Here we go.
It's finished.
Suspicious more pork. More pork. What a name. Oh, poor baby. He's looking like, what?
Say what?
Say what? He is too cute. Aww.
He is very cute.
And they're little, too.
I really like cute things. Do. Like our ginger cat's ridiculously cute. He's like fluffy and stuff, you know. He's got gingerness.
And ginger cats are nice.
Yeah, yeah. He's He's a very sweet boy. He's Daddy's boy. All right. Well, anyway. And I named him Griffin.
Thank you.
I named him Griffin after G. Edward Griffin.
Mm.
And, yeah.
I don't have a comeback for that.
Never mind. Never mind. Also, after the mythical creature.
I love tabby cats, and ginger cats are even better. So, you have a wonderful week, and I'm sure I'll be chatting with you soon.
All right. And, ladies and gentlemen, you can check me out at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, allegedly. And Eastwood, like Clint Eastwood, as in go ahead and make my news. Thank you very much, Chrissy. And you have yourself a wonderful
Thank
evening.
Thank you so much. You too, Vinny. Mr. News, talk to you soon.